World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
But we got them thinking, boys and girls. We got them thinking, and I love it when that is what's going on. Because, listen, it doesn't always require 100% agreement, but we would get a lot better, a lot farther in America if everybody began to think for themselves. And I just read my emails and stuff I see on my Facebook page. We got them thinking now. We got them thinking. They don't know about that bride and body thing. Ain't got that one quite figured out yet. Oh, and I wrote one today, posted it at newswithhughes.com. You haven't had a chance to read that yet. It said, I'm a hater. Whatever. When did hate ever become such a bad thing? It's what the left always does to us. The left is unbelievable. I wrote about, 10 years ago now, a commentary entitled, Change the Words, Change the World. And that's how the world's manipulated. It's manipulated through words. And all of a sudden we wake up and we're using the same words that they've programmed us to use, and we don't even know what they mean. Yeah? I've told this story before. Morning, it's Coach Dave. Glad you joined us here today. See our good crew. We got a full house down there. Got a couple pretty girls sitting in here with us today. I just lost my train of thought when I did that. Well, it'll come back to me, because remember I talked about yesterday, I got all those things that are running inside of my head. But again, I'm excited that you're all here, and I'm excited that we're all thinking things. If you had been in pre-show, which we call getting in a little bit earlier, Steve from Indiana asked man a profound question, and I said, wow, I got a whole teaching on that I'd like to do. But that's not what I had, you know, I'm like a pastor. I got my outline done for this morning, and so I didn't really get a chance to. I don't want to talk about that yet, Steve, but we're not going to let that one lay on the table. I was hoping to see Steve from Manhattan because I wanted to talk to him a little bit about crazy money world, what's going on. And there's so much. One of the things I put in the commentary that I wrote today is that, we believe so much stuff it's not true. Finding it in the church. Got another one, guys, you're going to like this. Remember all those wires are running? I'm spitting some things out here, and we'll get some traction in a minute. I watched a video on tithing. Oh, my. You shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, shall set you free, brother. So I'm going to get that one prepped up for us here in a couple days. We're going to dive into that thing. And I didn't say giving. I said tithing. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, and they'll be meat in my house. Ask yourself, black top, is that meat? Padded pews and plasma TVs and smoke machines, is that meat in your house? We'll set you free. Never stop giving. We live a life of giving. Never stop doing that. But the whole idea of legalized tithing, that's a whole nother animal. And then I look around just at the nature of man and everything I see that's going on. And Phyllis Schlafly, 91 years old, Phyllis Schlafly, started Eagle Forum back in 1970, I believe. She really started the pro-family movement, Phyllis Schlafly. She's 91 years old, and now they're trying to throw her off her board. 91 years old, she probably, I mean, she's still functioning upstairs. I don't know. They tried to pull a coup yesterday. They tried to pull the coup on her because, for the most part, she endorsed Trump and made all the conservatives mad. It's amazing how disloyal would be a good word to use. How disloyal we find people in the American society. And I'm going to drop another truth bomb on you. You can believe it if you want to, and it doesn't matter. I am absolutely. See, I don't want to talk about this because I don't want us to go in the wrong direction. But I just every day I like to feed you guys a little bit of truth that I know that I know that I know. I know that 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 Ted Cruz is a Canadian natural-born citizen, a natural-born citizen of Canada. And no, there is no doubt about it. And it's part of the whole compromise game that we play. And JR, I know this is kind of hitting home with you because you were talking about that a year ago, year and a half ago. And now that the guy that we want is a little shaky on the law, it's okay. That's where moral relativism comes in. That's where compromise begins. And we have moved from being a black and white society to a gray. Everything's gray. Nothing's right, nothing's wrong. As long as you can justify it, it's okay. Who are you to judge? And the courts are just unbelievable. We had a conference call last night with Tom Condon, our attorney that's helping us with an issue that we're fighting, free speech issue that we're fighting, at a local church. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we went and picketed the church. Yes, we did. But we didn't picket it. We proclaimed the truth. We invited them to come out and join us, and it got us in court. Because why? Well, the church sued us, took us to court. Even though the scripture is very clear that you're not supposed to do that to your brother, why would you take your brother into an ungodly system? Now, think how ungodly the system is today compared to what it was back when that was written in the Word, and we're told us, don't do that, man. Do not take your brother into that evil system. Well, Vineyard Columbus took us into that evil system. And when we get into that evil system, we find out it is just absolutely, it's a den of thieves. Absolutely a den of thieves. Our court system is so, it's so wicked. It's so wicked. And we live in a society where our government now is profiting off of crime. And when you begin to make money off of crime, now you know you're in trouble. I can always tell in our local little town here when they get near the end of the month. I'm not making this up. Speed trap picks up. The cops sit in the cemetery with their radar. They need a little bit of money. Money's running a little bit low that month, and so they go out and they raise a little bit of money from people going too fast and rolling through a stop sign. It's a perfect stop sign right there in our town. It is just tailor-made to roll through. You come off of the freeway, you come down, you know, you're going 65 miles an hour, you come down, and then you can look left. And as far as you can see, and you can tell if somebody's coming, and people roll through that thing all the time, and bang, $100 at a whack, boom, 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 didn't come to a complete stop. And, you know, why are they out there writing those tickets? Well, they're protecting and serving, aren't they? No, they're making $100 a whack every time they do that. And the same thing in the whole entire criminal justice system. So remember we read a few weeks ago that it displeased the Lord that there was no justice. We have an injustice system. And I'm sure if we could turn Roger up on here, which maybe I'm going to do that here in a second, Roger. We're finding out that our case that we're fighting, every one of the judges that we're going before was at some time working for this big, large law firm in Columbus. You know which one I'm talking about. I don't know. I don't want them to watch me and sue me. But every judge worked for this wet law firm. And so we go to the court, and all the judges work for that law firm at one point. And the attorney on the other side works for that law firm. And they're all connected like a big hive. And no matter how far up you go to the next level, you get out of the county, you go to the state, it's all the exact same thing. No wonder Jesus called them a brood of vipers, evil. So crazy world, crazy, crazy stuff that's going on out there. As we all know it, and we're in here today because once again we're trying to figure out the solutions to why it is. Let me do that. Anybody before I get rolling here in a direction? Anybody got anything to add here at all? Anybody meditate on anything last night that's kind of got them in a twixt and a tween? Nobody? No thinkers in this group? No thinkers? Okay. Well. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I wrote about hate today, as I told you. I'm a hater, proud to be a hater. If you would, I want to show you something here. Psalm 139. I'm sorry. Yeah, 139. Just turn there real quickly if you can. Not Are we there? Psalm 139:19 says this: surely thou wilt slay the wicked. I could preach right there. It's David talking to God. And here's what we see: two things. Number one, there are wicked people, and David expects them to be slain by God. Isn't that something? Try preaching that one today. I mean, just that first phrase. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Oh God, depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Oh, the Lord has enemies? You kidding me? Ready? Here you go. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate you? And I'm not grieved with those that rise up against you. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. But we're supposed to love our enemies. Seems to be a contradiction here. What do you think David meant by a perfect hatred? Again, remember, folks, God's perfectly balanced. If he's love, he's hate. Right? Has to be. If he has anger, he has mercy or grace. Has to. If he's happy, he can be sad. Has to. So there are some things that we are supposed to hate. That was the premise of my writing today. Why are we so afraid to hate? Where did that become? Because we do know this, that in the battle that we're fighting against, no matter what that battle is, ultimately the plan of attack by the enemy will be to accuse you of hate. That's where it always ends up. And I was amazed, I don't know if you guys saw this, that Bruce Springsteen canceled a concert down in North Carolina because of their bathroom gender bill. That Bruce Springsteen said, I'm not going to go down and I'm not going to have a concert down there because they won't let men tinkle beside women. And that's bigoted. And Bruce Springsteen's a hero. And then old fat old Michael Moore jumps in there and says, yeah, I'm going to pull my movies from down there. I'm pulling my movies out of North Carolina. We ain't going to show them down there. And Ringo Starr, yeah, I didn't even know he's still alive. So Ringo Starr says, yeah, I'm not going to do that concert either. So the five people that were coming to Ringo's concert, they're going to be disappointed. Yet, you got to bake a cake for homos. And if you don't bake cakes for homos, see, Bruce Springsteen, he doesn't have to violate his conscience. He thinks people in North Carolina are bigots. He doesn't have to go provide that service. Those people purchased those tickets. He doesn't have to go provide that service. And the media supports him. Michael Moore said, I'm not going to let them watch my movie down there. And the media supports him. Ringo, I mean, something wrong with you when you're still a rock star at 75. And it's, come on, your grandpa, something wrong with you. Something wrong with a guy like that to still out being a rock star at 75 years old. But Ringo's a hero. Bake me a cake. You guys bake me a cake. And then they turn it around and they accuse us of being the haters, right? It's the manipulation of the words. And we had better get up to snuff on this game. And until we get up to snuff on this game and understand that there are things that the Lord hates and there are things that we're supposed to hate, until we get up to snuff on that, fellas, we're going to have ourselves a problem. Give me a comment while I dig for something here real quick. Anybody? Larry, jump in here, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The source of our not being willing to hate anything is PC, political correctness, coming from the left. The same source that gives us don't judge anybody.
Amen, brother.
Because, not so few people know what the Bible actually says and what those words actually were meant from the original, from the Greek of the original text and things. But that's neither here nor there. The thing is, what you just said, they teach us that we're not supposed to hate, we're not supposed to judge, we're supposed to love everybody. But they do not come anywhere close to following their own example because they hate the snot out of us.
They just call it something else. See, folks, listen, it's the power of words. The power of words. I wasn't going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you today. I was in downtown Hebron yesterday. Hebron's a very small town, maybe 2,500. And for those of you who don't know, I went through an instance here. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I went through an instance here 2 years ago where I basically volunteered to be the high school football coach here. They'd won 10 games in the last 11 years. In other words, they were 10-100 over the 10 wins and 100 losses over the last 11 years. We moved back to town. I said, hey, you know, I'll volunteer my services. I went to the superintendent and volunteered, told him, you know, here's what I do. I'm controversial. I know I'm controversial. But if you know, I'll turn the football program around. I'd be honored to do it. I don't want a teaching job. Pay me $5,000 or whatever it is, and I'll build into kids' lives, and I'll turn it around. But I need to know right up front, is my faith going to be an issue? And he assured me that it wouldn't. And if I go through the process and I'm the guy they come up with, well, that I'll get the job. Well, I went through all the interview process, and you know, hey, nobody wants that job. Nobody wanted that job. I mean, it's like Woody Hayes applying for. I'm not bragging. It's just truth. I come in here, got this sterling record of building programs, and of course I'm going to win in the interview process. Well, the story goes on that when the night I'm supposed to be hired, the homo mafia shows up, and oh, hater, 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 hater. It's amazing. It's amazing what they did to me publicly. They hung me out to dry publicly. And one of the school board members I went to high school with, not, it was even more than that. When I was in the 7th and 8th grade, I played the tuba. It's probably hard to picture me playing the bass. I did. I played the tuba. And one of the school board members played the trombone. We were in classes all the way together through high school. And we would go into these private they break the music classes. They break them down into the, you know, the tubas and the trombones would play together. Well, he played the trombone. So it'd be me and him and another girl, three of us. We'd be in there practicing the mbuh, mbuh. They'd be doing the trombone. Just three of us in room practicing. I did that for 2 years with this guy. Known him 60 years. Went to Catholic church with him. Sat in catechism with him. Knew him for forever. And he votes against me. Now, I tried to have a meeting with him up before then. He refused to have a cup of coffee with him. And so I hadn't seen him in 2 years. Hadn't even thought about him in 2 years. And yesterday, I took my son's dog for a walk, and when I'm taking my son's dog for a walk, I look, and standing right outside my son's house across the street is this guy, the school board member. I can't even tell you what rose up inside of me. I can't even explain it, but I knew it was righteous. You guys ever been there? You know the difference between you and just being angry and having righteous anger? It rose up in me, righteous anger. So right there in downtown Hebron yesterday, I ate me some school board member. It was unbelievable. I told my wife, not only did I eat him, now I didn't eat him about not hiring me. I ate him up about 60 years in this district, and you listen to the homos, and you wouldn't even sit down and have lunch with me. I ate him. You know what was really good? I'm not kidding you. I had four helpings. I went at him, went over, started out nice, didn't end nice, went back to my car, and then went back for another bite, and went back to my car, and went back for another bite. I went over three times. I had four helpings of him yesterday. And everybody's standing on the street watching. I was in a zone. And it wasn't about whether they hired me or not. It was about my righteous anger at the way it was handled. That you shouldn't handle it. You don't handle stuff like that, right? So I came home and I tell my wife that. And see, we are so, what's the word I'm looking for? We're so sissified. Here's the truth. If I wasn't a born again man, I'd have knocked his stinking teeth out, because that's what he deserved, right? That's what he deserved. You're not even allowed to get angry. If you get, if somebody in church sees you get angry, oh brother, you have to control your emotion. What are you talking about? Why aren't you angry? Why aren't you angry at what's going on? What happened to us that anger became an emotion that you're not allowed to display, when the Bible clearly tells us that the Lord God is angry with the wicked every day? But they turn us into little mush balls. Just little mush balls. Don't raise us. Why do you think they're running all over Christians in this society today? Because we don't get mad about nothing. And anything that upsets us. And if you come in and you got something that genuinely upsets you, a righteous thing that upsets you, they're going to tell you to calm down. Calm down now. Calm down. What? Calm down? Why? Give me a reason why I should calm down. So that's why I wrote about hate today. I want to share a little bit of this with you. I'm not bragging because I wrote it. I'm bragging. I'm going to read a little bit of it because it's good. You ready? I'm just going to read a couple things and tell me if somebody thinks I'm wrong here. So I'm a hater. I finally admit it. I'm a hater and I'm proud of it. I hate what homosexuality does to people. I hate the destructive nature of the debaucherous behavior and the impact it has on the individual. I hate the pain that it causes to innocent parents and siblings. I hate that it's taught to our children as normal behavior. I hate abortion. I hate the fact that little precious little babies created in the image of God never get the chance to have their pictures appear on a refrigerator. I hate that unsuspecting grandparents are having their grandchildren murdered without their knowledge. I hate that most women live a life of regret after they've killed their unborn child. I hate that Planned Parenthood makes millions of dollars off of killing the innocent, and it's honorable. I hate that our government forces us to pay taxes to pay for it. I hate that most Christians don't do a darn thing to stop it. I hate that my government lies to me. I hate that they spend money that they have no right to spend. I hate the control of our money and that it lies in the hands of the privately owned bank, and that the people have no control over how the value of money is regulated. I hate that the government sends our young people to fight and die in meaningless wars. I hate that they live by a different set of rules. I hate that the elections are rigged. I hate our public education system. I hate that the schools don't teach the values of the public, but instead teach the values they want the public to hold. I hate the National Education System, Education Association. I hate the fact that millions of our inner city, you get where I'm going, right? Hate's a good thing. Hate can be a motivator. Now, I don't hate it because of me. Guys, do you understand the difference here? I don't hate it because how it impacts me. I hate it because of how it impacts others. We should hate that. We should hate some things. And if we hated some things, we would be motivated to do something about it. But we are not taught to hate. We're supposed to swallow it, baby. What was it John Kasich said, Roger? Get over it. Get over it. Are you kidding me? We have been trying to get over too much stuff for too stinking long. What's the left run out in the streets? They're pretty daggone angry. Anybody telling them to calm down? No, the media cameras are there feeding that anger. Because why? Because the other side is smart enough to understand that anger is a motivator. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Now, hang on. See, we think that means be angry and don't be mean. No. Be angry and sin not means sometimes be angry and sinning would be not doing anything about what makes you angry. That's just as big as sin. To know to do good and not to do it, to him, it is sin. Well, I don't know if you can tell this. I really feel this. I really, really feel. And I really feel this in a righteous sense. If God is angry with the wicked every day, how come I can't be? How come I can't be angry with the wicked every day? And if I have a righteous anger that builds up inside of me, why can't I express it? Why are all those people standing out there on Hebron watching me have me some school board member for lunch being surprised that it's going on? Why? Because they never see it. Oh, you can get angry at a football game. You can get mad at the refs. You can get mad. You can get mad at anything, but you can't get righteously angry about anything in America today. Don't you see what they're trying to do to us? Can't you see? Can't you see? You notice this? Hang on just a second. You notice this? When's the last time you saw on the media? When's the last time you saw those towers fall? When's the last time you saw that happen over and over and over and over? When? No, because they don't want you to be angry. Because if you get angry about it, then everything is going to change. If you're not guarded by the Holy Spirit. See, I wanted to hit him in the mouth yesterday. That's what I wanted to do in my flesh. I was that angry. But the Holy Spirit controlled me. See, the Holy Spirit didn't say, calm down. The Holy Spirit said, don't hit him. He didn't say, calm down. The Holy Spirit didn't say, stop that, coach. You're making me look bad. No, he didn't say that. He said, don't hit him. Go ahead, Roger.
Quickly, what I see going on also is the PC on hatred and anger. But when they close that door, baby, they're manipulating, conniving, behind the scene, evil people. But they don't publicly do it. See,
they do the smile.
Yeah, they smile and in public, but when the school board closes the door, and we associate the anger aspect of our personality, our characteristics as being bad, and there's no association of the conniving, manipulation, behind the scene, backstabbing that goes on, and but it is going on. And some of us need to be more outspoken with public anger.
We need to be angry, brother. Hey, you guys remember the video that I showed? Just Larry will be up next. Hang on, Larry. I got to share this before I lose the train of thought. Remember the video I showed you guys a couple weeks ago of the angry dad that went in and rebuked the school board? You guys remember all that, don't you? My buddy Frank, he's at it again today. There was a school board meeting last night, and he just texted me this. Listen to this. He said, okay, you're going to love this one. I was approached by one of the school board members last night. They were surprised to see me at one of their secret meetings, which was set up for homeowners to speak and expressed to me that I wasn't, and he expressed to me that I wasn't allowed to use certain words. School board member comes up to him and says, listen, well, you're okay, you can speak, but there's certain things you can't say. I asked him if he'd ever heard of the First Amendment. He said it didn't apply there. That's what he said. And I asked him if he'd like to repeat that so I could record it. Obviously, he said he didn't want to do it, let me record it. But he said the word that I was not allowed to use was, are you ready? Abomination. Not allowed to use that. Now, Frank didn't bend over. I promise you, he said. Go ahead, Larry.
I just want to say that, you know, be angry and sin not. That's the exact same thing as saying, if you're not angry, you're sinning.
That's exactly right.
There's a time when we have to be angry.
Larry, say that again, Larry. Not being angry
or sinning
is also sinning.
That's right. Not being angry is wrong. Now, one of the fundamental things, you know, I keep coming back to this Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, the fundamental things of Christianity. The first one mentioned is repentance from dead works. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, hey, I wrote to you the first time, and I was almost sorry. You know, I've kind of felt a little sorry about chewing you out, but I really don't now because it straightened you out. And he says, yeah. I want you to know that one of the things that happens when you have a godly repentance, you know, this is all in the scripture there, is that you have an indignation. And an indignation is anger, my brother.
Hey, brother, that's right. And the Bible tells us this, Larry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yeah.
Now, that's for two. That's for a couple different reasons, the way I see it. Don't let that stuff fester in you. Don't sleep and let all that stuff fester in you. And if you got wrath, get it out, man. Get it out. JR put up here on the side, the definition of indignation is anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. Synonyms are resentment, umbrage, affront, disgruntled, displeasure. Hey, Raj, is there anything that pisses off your pastor?
When he's attacked.
When he's attacked.
When somebody tries to reason with him,
Is he pissed or killing babies?
Oh, I have not seen pissed. I think he's concerned, but should I've not be? Seen any anger about it.
Should he be?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Should he be angry about it?
It's God's creation, Jeremiah. He knew him in the womb. They're butchering and killing them. Yes, absolutely.
You think he knows what to do about that? I mean, listen, let's quit giving people excuses. If you see them, come on now. If you see somebody pull into your neighbor's driveway and jump out of their car with a machete and they're running to chop off the head of your neighbor's child, are you pro-choice? What are you going to do? Well, they're doing it right down the street in what they call a clinic. And the only difference is where the baby is, then the size of the baby, and what they tell us is legal. But all of us who are thinking men know that they're pulling, not only chopping off the heads, Planned Parenthood is ISIS in the womb. They are dismembering babies in the womb, and there ain't nobody pissed. Let's pray for them. Hey, JR, I get to speak at Thomas Worthington today. Kevin, you know I've done that. I've got that coming up this afternoon. And I think I'm going to start with this. I'm going to ask him this. If you find out that one of your teachers molests one of the kindergarten students, you think they'll be punished? Well, yeah, they all will. If you think that one of your friends beats up a homosexual, think they'll be punished? Yeah, they all will. If a woman murders her baby inside the womb, you think she'll be punished? And see, that's going to lead to crime and punishment again, right? We want mercy before justice. We don't want any consequences at all for our behavior. And you know what it is? We're not pissed. Can I say that word? That's in the Bible, by the way. Pisseth against the wall, it says in Psalms. Help me out here, fellas. Am I the only angry guy here? And JR, am I coming across as just another angry hater? But, hey, listen, come on. That's what the left has identified me as. And you know what else? Now the church has agreed with them. The church will agree I'm just an angry hater. I am. I am angry, and I am a hater. It's not people. Yes, sir.
Well, and Larry, maybe you can help us here again. I think a good lesson, a good review is our Lord was angry. Our God is angry. See, our actions can and should reflect our King, our Savior, our God.
Roger, we just read what David said he expected God to do. What did David expect God to do?
His wrath, you know.
Beat the snot out of him, didn't he?
Take care of him. And I think in this area of anger, that's key. When we are in these environments and showing anger, and I remember in an old deacon meeting once, I got all riled up, and I wasn't as schooled as I am now for 2 months with you guys, but I was angry, and I was upset. And I remember the guy saying, what are you all worked up about? And I remember looking at him thinking, this is what I'm worked up about. But I think if we come back with some of the scriptural support that our God is a God that showed anger, is angry, our Lord is a God, is our King who is angry and showed anger, I think it helps build a foundation for our anger, if that makes sense.
Okay, so then here's a good question. The Lord just said this to me. I think it was him. Question for you boys, girls. Is God angry? Does God get angry?
Yes.
Yeah, we know that. We've read it. It's everywhere. He gets angry. So is anger a sin? Boys, girl, is anger a sin?
It's what you do with your anger.
It's what you do with your anger. And they have told us, they have pounded in the church and outside of the church, in the media, they've told us, don't get angry. Just take it like a Christian. Don't get angry. And I'm going to tell you, as I read on the internet, if I see some old dude like me, follow my granddaughter into the bathroom, there's going to be some anger. there is going to be some serious anger. And see, they're provoking us to anger. They're provoking us. And then they love to Come on, guys. Why do you think whenever they go, the media goes to a place that I am or wherever Christians are, why do you think they love to show the pictures of us being angry? Because they want us to think that angry is hateful. Yet you go to the other side, and they are angry and wicked and spew venom and call names, and they're defending their cause. We're just angry old white boys, and I'm going to tell you, it will cost us this nation, Western civilization. If Christians don't begin to rise up and do something with the anger that they've given them. Somebody's got to be bubbling to say something. Got a new guy joined us over here. Who are you? That's a terrible thing. Identify yourself. Right here, just joined us. Can you unmute yourself there? On your there you go. We like to say hi to everybody.
I'm Pastor Hart.
Pastor Hart, where are you from, Pastor?
In Idaville, Indiana.
Awesome to have you, brother.
Idaville.
Okay, Pastor, here you are, man. You're in here with us. And anytime you feel like you want to say something, you wave your hand and we'll let you get right in here. And this is a free speech zone, brother. This is a free speech zone. Welcome to it. Anybody got a comment about it? Anybody? How about our sweet little lady over there? Am I being unchristlike because I'm getting a little pissed? Pardon me for saying that word.
Let me unmute myself.
You're good. You're on. We had you before. You just muted yourself. There you are. Now you're on.
Here. No. And my husband says he's pissed off too.
Good.
And yeah. And pissed off is okay. And I am too. I wish more men were manly. And I wish, and I tell that to young men all the time, that it's okay. And I also tell their wives, be in submission of your husbands.
Amen. Wow. Yes. You're making a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah. I make an awful lot of them. Here's my husband. Hang on.
Yes, sir.
Coach, can I have 60 seconds?
Brother, you can have 62.
Thank you. 1953. I'm living in a slum in East Paterson, New Jersey. Okay? My father comes home from work trying to feed 7 kids, exhausted, tired. And after about 6 months, he saves up enough money to buy shoes for the kids. Mm. We go to the shoe store. We come out. He buys every kid a pair of shoes. Walking back to the car, he passes an old shoemaker. Walks in and says, I want cleats on all these shoes so they last longer. The shoemaker says, okay. And in about a minute, he turns around and he says to my father, you got pre-war shoes. And he pulled the shoes apart. The guy ripped you off. My father sent all the kids back to the car except for me. And I wasn't the oldest. And he says, this is how you handle it. He went back in, emptied the cash register, the best of shoes for everybody, and beat the living hell out of that shoe salesman and left him bloody over that counter. And by Jesus Christ, I swear this to my Lord, things like that ought to be done today.
Amen, brother. Yeah. I'm going
to sharpen my Bowie knife. I'll be back later.
Okay. Larry's coming up. See, here, listen, guys, do you understand? They want to keep us from reacting. They want to keep us calm and medicated, and our churches are doing it to us. Our churches are doing it. Men are sick of it, and our churches are saying, take it easy, boys. Jesus is in control. Let the Holy Spirit come. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate once again that when – in the Bible, where it talks about the evidence of having come to a godly, you know, without repentance, there's no salvation.
Amen, brother.
In the Bible, too, okay?
Right.
The part of the evidence of a godly repentance is the anger. And I tell you what, all those people out there that are sitting in the church that say you can't get angry if you're a Christian, they have never repented. They have not received any salvation. That's A equals B equals C logic.
Amen. I got to tell you this, guys. Yesterday, in that instance that took place, I wish I'd have filmed it. I wish somebody would have filmed it. I had not thought about that school board member. I hadn't even thought about him in 2 years. It wasn't like, you understand, please understand this. It wasn't like I had all this pent-up anger. Boy, the next time I see him, I'm going to give him. I had never even thought about him. Didn't even matter. I kind of left it. And when I got out of that car and I looked across and saw him, something righteous rose up inside of me. When I went over there, I didn't defend me. I just said, listen, man, I went at him. You wouldn't even you weren't even man enough to sit down with me face to face and discuss this. We've known each other for 60 years. My family owns properties in this community. You know I'm a stand-up guy. And he said, yeah, Dave, I do know you're a stand-up guy. And he wouldn't even have a cut off with me. So listen, that's righteous anger, brother. That was righteous anger. Now, he's going to go. He'll tell everybody, good thing we didn't hire him. That guy's crazy. He yelled at me out on the street. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. He'll call me next time. He'll call me before he does it again. And he'll call before he does it to somebody else again. Anybody want to jump in here? Yes, Matt.
Yeah, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Something I've been thinking about, and I wanted to tell you this, because I think you're definitely on the right track. And when you look at the blessings that you receive from God, it's because a lot of that is because of your righteous anger. Now, that's one reason why the church doesn't preach this to people, that they can receive blessings from God for their righteous anger, because Satan doesn't want them to do that, because he doesn't want God to be happy. So Amen. your anger, your telling people and defending life, defending the traditional marriage, defending all those principles of God, you're defending God's character. And if anybody doesn't believe that you receive blessing from God for this, then they don't know God.
I mean, but you know, that's not why I do it, though, is it, Matt? My fealty to my
love God.
That's right.
You love God.
Somebody needs to speak up for him. Somebody needs to speak up and defend him. When David showed up to take on Goliath, 1 Samuel 17, I don't have time to go there. David showed up and he said this to all those professional Christians that were hanging around him. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines who is defying the armies of the living God? Now, that always struck me. David didn't say, who is this dude talking about God, defying God? David didn't say that. He said, why are you guys letting that dude talk to you like that? Why are you doing that? You're representative of the king. Why are you putting up with that stuff? And David ran up and chopped his, knocked him down, chopped his head off, put an end to that foolishness. But see, we're taught love, 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 love. Listen, guys, the rebuke of a friend is the greatest love you can ever receive. It's the greatest love you can receive when a friend rebukes you out of love. I rebuked him yesterday. Was it out of love? I don't know, but it was out of righteousness. What you did is wrong. But they've got us so sissified in our churches. Calm down, calm down. What do you mean calm down? Hey, guys, I watched the Ohio State Buckeyes get beat by Michigan State. Remember that football game? I'll take my hat off and bow my head a minute. When Ohio State was clearly better and couldn't beat Michigan State, you know why they didn't beat Michigan State? They weren't pissed enough. And then what happened after Ohio State got beat by Michigan State? What happened the next 2 weeks? 3 weeks? They kicked the snot out of everybody because they got their PO back, if you know what I'm talking about. We're worried about making people mad and stepping on their toes. What do you think, Pastor? Weigh in over there, brother. Weigh in there from Indiana. What's your take on this? You have to unmute your. You have to. There you go.
I'm muted again.
No, you're okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. I haven't been told that yet today.
Now you muted yourself again. Now you're mute. Should be a little microphone right at the top. You unmute. There you are. I can hear you. I think you unmuted it. There you are. Now you go.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get too close to that camera. Now, I absolutely agree with you. I've been teaching this for years. We have lost sight of being angry, not just at sin, but the sinner. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 6, you'll find out that God said there's six things that he hates, and
can we go there,
is an
brother?
Abomination.
Let's go there, brother. Let's go to Proverbs 6 real quick. Pastor, hang on here a second. Let us go to Proverbs. I like our guys just see it for themselves. Proverbs chapter 6. And it's verse 17, I believe. Go ahead, that Pastor. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. That word abomination means it's the most despicable thing that God hates. And if you'll look at every one of those, it actually points to the person itself, not the sin.
Amen.
What brought me around to come to this conclusion was this little cliche that they say, love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yes, sir.
When and you hear that so much, when I come to Proverbs chapter 6 and started reading that, I thought, boy, they've missed it. They've absolutely missed it. Every one of these things points to the person, not the sin.
Listen to this, folks. Six things the Lord doth hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. That's a person. A lying tongue. It's a person. And hands that shed innocent blood. That's a person. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's what the school board member did. He devised wicked imaginations. Feet that can be swift running to mischief. He did that one too. And a false witness. He did that one too. That speaketh lies. Oh! And he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Those are all people, aren't they, Pastor? Those are all people. So the lie that we bite and swallow is, oh, well, God doesn't want us to hate the sinner. Well, it's a sinner that he throws into the lake of fire. It's not the sin.
Not the sin. It is the sinner.
Am I supposed to forgive somebody who molests my 5-year-old daughter? Are you kidding me? I'll forgive them right after they kill them. Execute them. Yes or no? Huh? That don't seem very loving, does it? That's why we have a criminal justice system, or did at one time. Man, I'm sounding hateful today. Right Wing Watch is going to love this. Guys, there are some things we ought to hate. There's some things we ought to hate. We ought to act in hatred. We ought to act it out. Because Pastor's right. It's the person that's doing it. Somebody. Larry.
Yeah, 1 John 2:15. Everybody knows this verse, but most churches teach it wrong. Love not the world or the things in the world. See, the Bible differentiates the two between the world and the things. Every sermon I've ever heard on this verse tries to screw the Bible around, twist it, bend it, and make both of those be the same thing, the things. But the Bible is very clear. We're not to love the world. We're not to love the things of the world. If you try to make it something else, you are a mouthpiece for Satan.
Amen. So, guys, you would agree with me, would you not? Kevin, are you allowed to be angry at Urban Meyer when he calls a stupid play? Are you allowed to stand up and throw your hat and kick your shoe? And you allowed to do that? Say a dirty word about it? Yeah.
Actually, I get happy when he does that because I'm a Michigan guy. But I'm pretty angry at a certain group of lawyers right now and judges.
Yep, that's right. That's right. But hey, get over it, John Kasich tells us. Get over it.
I'm pretty angry at him, too.
Should we be? Yes, we should be, see? And until, guys, listen, until we come back and bring what the Bible calls, I not a whole lot of scripture today, Rog. Sorry, I'm just kind of winging this thing, but I think we're getting to the heart of it. When the Bible tells us to be, again, be angry and sin not, he's not saying don't be angry. He's not telling us that. And if he has anger and is not sinning, then I think it's okay for me. And because we are not, we don't have righteous anger, it's one of those, look at that, daggone ants trying to get on Google Hangouts here with me today. Because we aren't angry, because they've convinced us that we're not to express that emotion, that our anger is misdirected or misplaced, I can't think of anything more wicked. I see it every 3 days a week. I can't think of anything more wicked than a police officer standing outside of an abortion clinic protecting the killing of babies while he yells at me for where I'm holding my sign. I mean, you don't get much more wicked than that, do you? So why am I just supposed to say, oh, yes, officer. Yes, officer. Or are I supposed to tell him what he's doing is wicked and wrong? Stop doing that. It's not right. I'm angry. They're killing babies behind you.
That's my point. You know, why I'm angry at the lawyers is because they're not standing for right. They're not standing for righteousness. They're just standing for their own agenda and what they want to do. And they will lie and cheat to do what they want to accomplish their goal. That's not what lawyers do, right, Roger? Lawyers stand for what's right.
Supposed to.
The law isn't bad. It's how they address the law.
If you follow the law, we might have a just system. We might. Guys, I'd suggest really get a chance to read my commentary that I wrote today, because I think there's a lot of really, really valid truth in it. See, I hate this. You guys don't. We're not allowed to hate it. I hate the fact that we are so overtaxed that mothers have to leave the home to go support the family. That'll just really tick us off. It's destroying our society. And why is it destroying our society? Because the government is, in an unrighteous, tyrannical way, reaching and taking the money out of your paycheck before you even see it. Brothers, that ain't good. It ought to make us mad. And I said to somebody the other day, maybe it was JR, our founders, they started a revolution over a little bit of tea, tax on the tea. They were angry. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. He'd had enough of it. When are we going to have enough of it? Say, oh, coach, are you talking violent revolution? No, I'm talking righteous. I'm talking righteousness. At what point are we going to get some righteous anger and stand up and say no to all this stuff? No to all of it. And you know why we won't do it? Because it's going to cost us something. We want to fight a war where there is no casualties. We want to just believe that Ted Cruz will get elected and all this evil stuff's going to go away if we just get him in there. And as my friend JR says, the church is simply the water upon which the boat floats. The political system is the boat. We're the water. We determine the current. We determine where things go. But we don't. The boat gets up on top of the water, and then they open up the dam and let the water out. So they're in control of it. So it's a whole new mindset that we have to have. Whole, totally, brand new. Oh, my goodness, it's 7:54 already. This wasn't even what I was going to talk about. But it's good. Anybody? Larry, again. JR, you're awful quiet today.
Yeah.
Larry.
Get a word in edgewise.
Well, okay. Well, go JR's sign says if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. That's right. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, it's
basically, that's the bottom line of Rancher Lives Matter is, are there enough angry people out there to send a message? Do you have enough anger in you to actually put your put at risk what you believe to show up for it? And for the new pastor, I would encourage him, go to rancherlivesmatter.com and see a way that you as a patriot and anyone you know, your congregation or anybody, can very easily stand with our ranchers out west. And just, you know, just as importantly as that is they can stand with themselves and for themselves against an overreaching, unrighteous government. RancherLivesMatter.com.
So, Larry, think about all the anger that we saw over Trayvon Martin and over Michael Brown, all the anger that we saw. And they kill innocent Lavoy Finicum out there, and we're not allowed to be angry. We're not allowed to be angry. It's only those other guys that are allowed to, see. And we have to all learn to play by the same set of rules. Now, I know this. I got the Holy Spirit in me. And the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to direct my anger. The Holy Spirit gives me the ability to be angry and sin not. Most of those people out there are angry and they're sinning and they're getting away with it. I'm supposed to be angry and sin not, but I ought to be angry. And I ought to be out in the streets. And I ought to be out in the streets expressing my anger. If you're going to fight fire with fire, that's what we have to do. But if the idea to go out there and take clubs and start beating on other people or shooting at them, no, that's not what I'm talking about. No, that's sinning. You don't do that. But anger ought to motivate us to action. It ought to motivate us to action. And what are our churches telling us? Can't be angry. Not allowed to be angry. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit, brother. Okay. Come on, JR, jump in here.
Well, I want to add one thing, and righteous indignation is...
JR, hang on. Hold that thought. Oh, my goodness. Love, peace, joy. That's fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, peace, joy. You know what the Holy Spirit just said to me? Anger brings those. Anger brings love and peace and joy. Anger brings it. Because you then stop what's going on around it. And what happens? Love, peace, and joy. Long-suffering and patience, kindness and goodness follows after you get angry and do something about it. Go ahead, JR, sorry.
No, you were talking about an example of you and a school board member. And I'm sure that at some point during that conversation, that school board member would have said, you know what, Dave, I was wrong. I think at that point, you wouldn't have been angry anymore. Because
it would have changed. It would have changed.
Yeah. And then you would have been forgiving.
That's right.
If you just listen to this, the anger would precipitate the forgiveness. But if you don't say anything, if you don't do anything, for evil flourish, good men need only do nothing. If you don't do anything, there's not going to be an act reaction.
JR, if he'd have said to me, you know, Dave, it's bothered me for 2 years. I handled that so wrong. Would you forgive me? Yeah. I would have totally been disarmed. Yep. Totally. Right? And my anger should have prompted him to do that. And I bet he didn't sleep very well last night. And I might get a call from him. At some point, he might call. Say, you're right. I'm sorry. I did you wrong. Would you forgive me? Right? Because listen, it's that anger and that law that drives him to repentance, drives him to Christ. That's the only way that we can have peace and joy and long-suffering and mercy and goodness and kindness. That's the only way. See, we cannot get those things through tolerating everything. I cannot have love and peace and joy when I'm tolerating all this evil that's going on around me. And by the way, the love and the peace and the joy and the long-suffering and the goodness and the kindness, it's not just for me. It's a fruit. It's what comes off of me. And sometimes my anger makes that fruit grow so others can benefit from it. America needs a champion, don't we? We need an angry champion. We got Donald Trump, an unrighteous anger. Yet we're seeing what's happening as a result of his anger, aren't we? There's some good stuff going on as a result of it. And what are they?
When they see Christ return, they're going to see some anger.
Oh, aren't they ever? They're not going to.
He's not coming to a cradle this time.
Amen, amen, amen. Guys, I got to scoot because I got to go make a presentation. I got to leave here in about 20 minutes. I'm skipping the clinic this morning. I'm still angry about it, though. I'm going to be cussing in my head all the way by the clinic. I just don't have time to stop there today. I'm angry.
Throw some water balloons.
I'll throw something at it right now. I'll throw some red paint that way. Good to have you with us today, Pastor. Appreciate all you guys being here. Hey, let's get angry, huh? God bless you. We'll see y'all tomorrow.